welcome to Tea and Strumpets, a Regency romance review. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Kelsey.
So Kelsey, last night I did something I haven't done in well over a year, since before I was pregnant, before I had a kid, which is I stayed up reading until 1 a.m. to finish a book.
Wow, Zoe. Welcome to my life.
I mean, it used to be my life too, but I just, you know, being pregnant, I was so tired all the time. And like, you know, having a young infant, sleep was number one priority for myself. But I feel like I've turned a corner because I was like, no, it is worth it to stay up and finish this book tonight.
I love it. Good job, you. It must have been a good book because, you know, it's the good books that inspire us to really get to the end there.
It was a fabulous book. It's not part of the list that we're talking about today, but I can't leave our listeners hanging. It was Stacey Reed's newest book. So anyhow, I really enjoyed it. Lots of fun.
Fabulous. Excellent. Well, there you go.
Well, today we also have an actually, because one of our listeners, Sarah, reached out to let us know that we've been pronouncing an author's name wrong. Wah, wah.
Typical us.
And, you know, as soon as she sent us this email, I was like, oh my gosh, I have been meaning to look this up, because every time we would say the author's name, I would think, we're probably not saying this right.
I think that all the time with names. I'm not going to lie. I just say things and I'm like, that's probably not right.
And whoops, we pressed record when we did that. So Sarah graciously informed us that the correct pronunciation is Balog. She says it rhymes with Kellogg. We had been saying Mary Ballou, so I believe it is Mary Balog. So sorry, Mary Balog. And thank you, Sarah. We try not to mispronounce things, but, you know, stuff gets away, and we really do appreciate it when you guys let us know.
We really do appreciate it. To be fair, there's a famous line of, like, horses that are out of a blue, which is spelled similarly but without the GH. So that's probably why I kept saying blue.
There you go. A solid excuse. All right. Well, today we have another fun episode inspired by one of our listeners who told us that they loved our Gal Pals episode. And we were like, oh yeah, we haven't done that in a long time. So here is our sibling series episode where we're going to talk all about Regency romance series that center around siblings.
Yes. So we want to talk about what qualifies as a sibling series for this purposes, because there are some series where like some of them are brothers, but lots of them are friends. So we are focusing on siblings. So our rules of this series chat is a large majority percentage must be books about blood relations, preferably brothers and sisters, though some cousins have made the cut.
Mm-hmm. And so for this list, we're staying away from found families. And we're doing that only because that deserves its own list. So that's not to say a found family is not a family. It is simply that we want to highlight that on its own at another time.
Correct. So for example, here's a few things that did not make the cut. Pennyroyal. Two families, two randos. Doesn't cut it.
No, not for this list. Also, the Sinster series, that is a massive series. There are over 20 books. There cannot be more than 20 siblings. So there might be some kids and some cousins and some generations. That's just not what we're focusing on here.
Correct. And last but not least, which is a very misleading title of a series, but yes, the Brothers Sinister series did not make the cut because they're not actually brothers.
Nope. Just a cousin, and they're all left-handed. So that's it. Not brothers, but they're just left-handed friends. So those just aren't focused on a group of siblings, which all of the other series we're going to talk about today do.
Correct.
And I would imagine that there's kind of a lot of interest in sibling series right now because of
Bridgerton.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously, Bridgerton is one of the main examples. If someone said to me, I want to read a book series about a whole bunch of siblings that is Regency romance, I would be like, well, have you read Bridgerton yet? So if you like Bridgerton, these are also great series for you to give a try.
Yes, correct. We did not list Bridgerton in this series because I'm pretty sure we covered that on a lot of other episodes.
We did, but obviously Bridgerton. So Kelsey, shall we take it away?
We shall. So number one is The Essex Sisters by Eloisa James. These four Scottish beauties lose their father and fall under the guardianship of one of his friends. Only it's not his friend. It's his friend's son who has inherited four wards. And he's prepared the nursery perfect for the arrival of four girls. Only problem is, what arrives aren't four girls, but four women.
Ugh, and what a scene that is.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious. Also, for a minute I was like, have I not read this? And then I was like, nope, definitely read this because it is etched into my brain because the opening scene is him walking his friend through the nursery about all the perfectly lined up things for four girls. He's got four rocking horses and four dolls and four of this. Yep. And he's like, I've done this perfectly. And then a bunch of women show up and he's like, miscalculated.
Yes, it's so great. And those women, those characters are Annabelle, Tess, Imogen, and Josephine Essex.
Yes, and the books are Much Ado About You, Kiss Me, Annabelle, The Taming of the Duke, Pleasure for Pleasure.
And these books are really great because the tropes are so diverse in them. Like first, I think the first book is like Marriage of Convenience. The second book, I don't exactly remember what Kiss Me, Annabelle, what trope it is. But The Taming of the Duke is like the ward and the duke and the like selfish one. And she really is kind of shrewish. And she's this character you don't like kind of throughout the other books because she's just –
She's very uptight and like cold, and her and the Duke like never get along, and then they come together. And I still remember that book, but it's like it's a beautiful thing because she just like makes him see himself in a way he hadn't seen before. And he was like, oh, what am I doing with my life? And it's not because he's changing for her. He just like takes what she says to heart, and then through his process of like changing himself, she ends up falling for him.
And she also grows a lot through the whole process she goes from extremely immature and self-centered to maybe just more of a human being an adult. And then the last book is an age gap romance, and it's one of my favorite age gap romances. I mean, What I Did for a Duke from Pennyroyal was probably the top, but this one is probably number two.
Absolutely. Honestly, just talking about this series makes me want to go read it. And I've been on a reading dry spell, so like maybe that's what I need to go do.
I love this series. But let's move on to our second series, which is The Carsington Brothers by Loretta Chase. So, the Right Honorable Edward Junius Carsington, Earl of Harrogate, had five sons, which was three more than he needed. Since Providence, with some help from his wife, had early blessed him with a robust heir and an equally healthy spare, he'd rather the last three infants had been daughters. This was because his lordship, unlike many of his peers, had a morbid aversion to accumulating debt, and everyone knows that sons, especially a nobleman's sons, are beastly expensive. And that is a little excerpt from the first book in the series, kind of just explaining a little bit about the family and the brothers. And Loretta Chase's original plan for the Carsington Brothers series, I found, was a trilogy dealing with the three pesky younger sons and Lord Hargate's machinations to get them married to rich girls. But like so many fabulous plans, hers went astray. As of today, the trilogy comprises five books, and only the second oldest son, Geoffrey, has stayed happily married as originally envisioned. She said, quote, having never given me a troubling thought, he neatly eluded being the hero of one of my books and thus spared himself a great deal of suffering.
All right, so our sibling characters are Alistair Carsington, Rupert Carsington, Benedict Carsington, Darius Carsington, and Olivia Wingate Carsington.
And the books are Miss Wonderful, Mr. Impossible, Lord Perfect, Not Quite a Lady, and Last Night's Scandal.
I've not read this.
Have you not? I actually have. It's been a long time. And I recently picked up one of the books because I was like, there was a book where they were in Egypt. And I was like, I wanted to see that. And so I picked that book up again. I will admit, it seemed a little more stressful than the opening was a little more stressful than what I was looking for reading right then. But if you want a journey to the Middle East, that is a great series to go for. I believe that is either, I think that's Mr. Impossible or Lord Perfect. It's not the first book in the series. So you can do a quick Goodreads Google and you'll figure that one out.
Awesome. Well, I like Loretta Chase. You know, I've read her most recent series and loved it. I don't know why I haven't picked this one up. So
yay, hey, more books.
Yay, more books. I got to reread the Essex series, and now I got to read the Carsington series. Excellent, guys. I'm so glad that my TBR pile is just getting bigger.
All right, well, this next series, I believe you have read.
Oh, I have. Absolutely. This is The Hellions of Halstead Hall by Sabrina Jeffries. They're the scandalous Sharps. Five hell-raising siblings tainted by a shocking family legacy. Now each faces a daunting ultimatum. Marry by year's end or kiss their inheritance goodbye. And so books 1 through 5 are of the Sharp siblings, but book 6 belongs to a secondary character seen in books 4 and 5. And here is an author's note about it. These books are a series in the sense that they are set in a shared world, and some characters make appearances in later books. They can, however, easily be standalones. Feel free to jump in whenever you like. Book 6 is a bridge book between the Hellions of Halstead Hall and the Duke's Men series.
And the siblings here are Oliver, Jarrett, Minerva, Gabriel, and Celia Sharp, and then there's Pierce Waverly. I think he was the quote-unquote hero, the character that I hope it wasn't the heroine. That was the overlap, and then I mixed that up. So whoops if I did.
Yes. So I really enjoyed this series. Like, there's, you know, there's mystery, there's intrigue, and, like, the siblings are their own, like, they embrace the scandalousness of themselves and their family, and they love it. Mm-hmm. And so for them to suddenly have to, like, woo good people, you know, into marriage with them is definitely a shock, because they have a very tight timeline. So it's quite fun. And there's a mystery, and then there's an inspector, and then the inspector ends up falling for one of the siblings in a later book. So it's quite... Ooh. There's a lot going on there.
And the books there are The Truth About Lord Stoneville, A Hellion in Her Bed, which is a title I really like, How to Woo a Reluctant Lady, also another great title, To Wed a Wild Lord, A Lady Never Surrenders, and 'Twas the Night After Christmas. So I have not read this series. We are swapping now. I have never. So I have yet to find a Sabrina Jeffries that I've really been enamored with. I think that, you know, her prose doesn't quite match my ideal favorite books to read. But this one I've heard so much about, and I imagine that I would like this series because I really like hearing what you are saying about it. And so I think I might give this one a try.
You should give this one a try. This is a series that we've recommended for people who are interested in getting into romance.
Ooh, so you hear that? If you need a series to recommend to your friends, this is a good one.
Yeah, because there's just a lot going on, and like she said, they can be standalones. It's not like you have to really understand a whole world and understand all these different characters and such. So you get through them pretty quickly, and they're just fun. They're just fun.
Well, that's what I love in my books. So our next series, we've got some of those pesky cousins swooping in here. But if we didn't talk about this series in the, like, sibling series, I mean, we would have so many emails, I'm sure, because this series is The Ravenels by Lisa Kleypas. Lisa Kleypas. So the summary of this series is that, like, so you know how cousins who are going to inherit are always, like, the worst, right?
Oh, yes.
So this, you know, quote-unquote horrible and rakish cousin inherits an earldom and a few surprises. His powerful new rank in society comes with some unwanted responsibilities. His estate is saddled with debt, and the late Earl's 3 innocent sisters and widow are still occupying the house. So obviously he's not really a horrible cousin, but He does quite a good job, I would say, with the crumbling estate that he inherits and with his new sisters, basically, because they do become a family and they're all Ravenels, all of their names. In fact, our sibling characters are Devon and West Ravenel, our brothers, and Devon is the Earl who inherits.
So technically they're cousins and a sibling.
Yes. And then we have Helen, Cassandra, and Pandora Ravenel. We have some extra books in this one, but then we have a book about Ethan Ransom, who is a Byblow Ravenel. He's a bastard. And he ends up with Garrett Gibson, whose name I could not omit from this list because she's wonderful. And the newest book, which is coming out, is about Merritt Sterling.
I love that name. Anyway, yes. So with the books in this series are A Cold-Hearted Rake, Marrying Winterborn, Devil in Spring, Hello Stranger, Devil's Daughter, Chasing Cassandra, and Devil in Disguise.
All right, all right, all right. Okay, so now we have to talk about like families and stuff because we don't just get the Ravenels. We get people from other series that if you love Lisa Kleypas, you love so much in this series because you get Sebastian and Evie's son and daughter in
yes.
these books
yes,
because
you
they
do.
marry some Ravenels here.
Mm-hmm.
The son, I can't remember who he marries.
The son Devil in
there's
Spring.
Devil in Spring,
Cassandra. Yes. No, he marries Pandora.
Yes,
Pandora is all about like she doesn't want to get married. She wants to have a board game empire.
Mm-hmm.
I love her. And she ends up with Sebastian and Evie's son, who's his
and
own
his
scandalous
name is
Saint Vincent.
Saint Vincent now. It's so great. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just like, I love Saint Vincent
yes.
in both forms.
And then Sebastian and Evie's daughter with her fabulous red hair, just like her mother, mm-hmm. Ends up marrying West Ravenel, who is such a good book because was married. She's a widow and she has some preconceived notions about West Ravenel due to her late husband. Mm-hmm. And then, oh no, shock of all shock. They're so attracted to each other.
It's so great. And then the last book, which is coming out this month, July 27th, so just like
woo-hoo!
A couple of weeks from now.
I think it's on my pre-order list.
Devil in Disguise is about Merritt Sterling, who is Lillian and Marcus's daughter from the Wallflowers series. So like all of the things, all of the characters that we love and fabulous writing, of course, from Lisa Kleypas.
Yes. All right. So yes, we're all very excited about that book coming out. But if you want a book that recently came out, mm-hmm. This last book in this next series came out not too long ago, and it is great. So this is the Wild Wicked Highlander series by Suzanne Enoch. And so three Highland brothers are forced to go to England to find English brides before their little sister gets married. This deal was made by their estranged mother with their father, who maybe failed to mention it until said younger sister gets engaged. So these grumpy Highland lords head to England with the intention of forcing their mother to back out of this deal. Little do they know, she's been waiting years to get this time with her sons.
Aww. So, uh-oh, we have a pronunciation here that I am not sure how to say, so I'm going to stumble right into it and say that our sibling characters are Niall McTaggart?
Niall.
Aidan Niall. Okay.
It's Niall.
Yep.
Like the One Direction guy.
I thought it was Niall on One Direction. I don't know. Okay, living under a rock here. So Niall McTaggart, Aidan McTaggart, Cole McTaggart, who is Viscount Glendaril.
So our first book is It's Getting Scott in Here, Scott Under the Covers, Hit Me With Your Best Scott, and Great Scott, novella.
So I've only read the third book, and we talked about this in our What We've Been Reading episode. We talked about that book. That is Hit Me With Your Best Scott, and I freaking loved it. I need to go back and read the other two because you've talked multiple times about the deer in the hallway.
I have. Oh, it's so great. He has his own name. I'm blanking on it right now, but the deer has his own name. And he just acquires, like, all the siblings, like, throw things on him. So he acquires a dancing slipper. He has a cravat. He has a tie over, he has a hat over one antler. You know, he just keeps accumulating things. Anyway. And it's just great because it's just this fun little quirk through all the novels. And so the first book is Niall's book, and he's the youngest. And it's great because his mother had her son's coming down, has a woman she thinks would be great for the oldest. And he is not having any of it, which is fine because it turns out Niall falls madly in love with her.
Yeah.
And then Aiden's book is a friend of his sister's, and he just falls head over heels for her. He, like, sees her and is like, what is this feeling I'm feeling inside?
These boys are, like, real rough and tumble boys who, like, fall really hard for their women and then are, like, not ashamed in the least about it. And yet it's so believable. Like, it's... Oh, I really loved Cole's book. I just, like, he was hot.
Yeah, no, they're really great, and it's really funny because as much as they were like, we're never gonna fall in love with English lasses because the English lasses are wilting wallflower or just wilting flowers, they find the fiercest, bravest women to marry, and they're like, huh, how did I know?
So good. I need to go back. Okay, I'm going to add that one to my TBR right now to read those two books. I really should just go click want to read on Goodreads so I remember.
Do it, Zoe.
Here's another one where I – and next we have another one where I have read way too few of the books in the series. And you've read all of them. And
I've read all of them-ish.
Okay, close enough. But this is such a great series. I've got to go back and do this one too, which is the Mackenzies series by Jennifer Ashley. So the Mackenzies are a powerful family, but they are a family with secrets and trouble with love. Each brother has their own traumas that they must get through and challenges to overcome. The stories are intense and the chemistry is on fire.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I've read a series with, like, more hot, bothered chemistry than this series. Woo. Woo.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. So this series is the main four siblings that we meet are Ian, Mac, Cameron, and Hart. So they are the first four books. And The Madness of Lord Ian Mackenzie is the first book in the series, which we've covered. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
On the podcast.
Yeah, we covered it on the podcast. And then it kind of swaps into the Cameron's wife. She's a McBride. And so we kind of cover her brothers, which are Elliot McBride, Stephen McBride, and Sinclair McBride. We also have Lloyd Fellows, who's the half-brother of Ian, Mac, Cameron, and Hart. And then Daniel McKenzie, who is Cameron's son and makes appearances in all the books and is just great. He has his own book, which is great because there's hot air balloons and cars and, like, all kinds of wildness in his book, which is so much fun. Ooh. And then the last few books in the series are – you have Malcolm, Alec, and Will McKenzie, which are ancestors of Hart, Cameron, Mac, and Ian. And so there's –
whoa.
So that's, like, it throws you back in time a little bit. And then the latest book is David Fleming, who is Hart's right-hand man. So he's an odd man out. But – so, yeah, this series kind of covers all over the place, but there's a lot of brothers in it. It is still a sibling series for sure.
Wow. And there's – there were way too many books right now for us to list, but we'll have a link in our blog post and in the show notes for you to go look up all those titles.
Yeah, again, this is an 11 book series. So, but I'm just going to say right off the bat that The Madness of Lord Ian Mackenzie we read. And then my other favorite one is actually Elliot McBride's book. And that book's number 5, I believe. And Oh my gosh, it is actually, I recommended it to Maisie, who's been on the podcast for us, because she was saying she really likes PTSD tropes, or I was looking for one, and I was like, I have one for you. Anyway, so Elliot's book, he's dealing with PTSD, and the whole book is just heart-wrenching and beautiful and amazing. And the one thing that I really like about this series is Jennifer Ashley doesn't have the brothers, you know, find their match and then suddenly all their problems are fixed. Their problems are still very real problems that they have to work on. And they work on them, mm-hmm. and that makes them grow closer to their partner. And it's just, they're very realistic in that sense, but they're also just wild. There's like mystery in all of them. There's always someone trying mm-hmm. to kill someone. They're pretty wild in general, but they're quite fun. And oh my God, does this woman know how to write chemistry?
Yeah. Oh goodness. The Madness of Lordi and Mackenzie is such a special book. I can't believe that I haven't read the others in the series. So, okay. My TBR is just like expanded about to topple over right now.
I will say I haven't read the books about the ancestors. So I'll put that in there because I mainly just focused on like the immediate Regency books.
Mm-hmm.
So our next series that we're going to cover is The Bedwin Saga by Mary Balog. Thanks, Sarah, for that correction. And so the series summaries is Meet the Bedouin, six brothers and sisters, men and women of passion and privilege, daring and sensuality. Enter their dazzling world of high society and breathtaking seduction, where each will seek love, fight temptation, and court scandal.
And so the sibling characters in this one are Aiden, Ranulf, Freya, Morgan, Alien, and Wulfric. And the books are Slightly Married, Slightly Wicked, Slightly Scandalous, Slightly Tempted. Anybody sensing a theme here? Slightly
right?
Sinful and Slightly Dangerous. This reminds me, okay, sorry, a bit little tangent that I have to go on. This reminds me just a little bit of the podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno, where they have the youngish man and they have all these ish characters, slightly this and slightly that. It makes me think of the youngish, shortish, oldish, like hairyish. There's some good ones there, but regardless, this is one of our contenders for the next series that we're going to be reading, which we will be announcing at the end of the show. We forgot to say that at the top of the show.
Oh, man. So that is a note that is written in here. Is this the next series we're going to cover? Because neither Zoe or I have read this series. So it's in here mm-hmm. on our sibling series rundown. And also, we might just get to read it soon.
We might. And even if we don't read this series, we are going to read at least one book from the series that we don't do very soon, just kind of to do that, because I think there's a lot of love for both of the series that we're in contention for our next series.
Absolutely.
So our next series is maybe the one that sort of like breaks our rules the most, but not
because they were raised as siblings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. I think that they're raised as siblings. They didn't find each other later in life. So this is the Sins for All Seasons series by Lorraine Heath. So the true love siblings are not siblings by blood, but they are siblings by bond. They grew up together in the care of a woman who took them in and raised them as best she could. They have garnered money and influence, but now they need to rectify their pasts with their futures.
Absolutely. Yes. So our siblings are Mick, Gilly, Finn, Aiden, Beast, aka Benedict, and Fancy.
Mm-hmm. And the books are Beyond Scandal and Desire, When a Duke Loves a Woman, The Scoundrel in Her Bed, The Duchess in His Bed, When an Earl Takes a Fancy, and Beauty Tempts the Beast.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of diversity in the books as far as like major themes and how each sibling is very different from the other. However, mm-hmm. a big overarching theme for all of them is class differences. That's a factor in all of their books. Yeah. But the other thing is that this family, it really is a family because their love is impenetrable from outside forces. Like they don't ever have – it's not like some of the other sibling stories where they're kind of they need to learn to be siblings with each other or get over some past problems. It's like, no, they are through and through there for each other. They still like have Sunday dinners with their mom in the house they grew up in. And they, you know, treat each other as confidants and helpers. So,
yes. And if you just want a really happy, like low stress, low kind of stakes, I would say light, fluffy romance, I think when an Earl Takes a Fancy is like one of the most perfect recommendations for that. It's a book that just made me like happy head to toe. It's a Beauty and the Beast trope. Fancy runs a bookstore and the Earl of Rosemont, I believe it is, or it's Rosewood or mm-hmm. something. Like and he's like hiding his identity and he's grumpy. And, oh, so great. Anyhow, I know when Beauty Tempts the Beast, or it's just called Beauty Tempts the Beast, a lot of people, you know, the character's name is Beast and a lot of people say that one's a Beauty and the Beast, but it really isn't.
It isn't like, because they're both beautiful people.
mm-hmm. And it's not a Beauty and the Beast trope where he like locks her up or anything. Mm-mm. And, you know, there's a lot of things in Fancy's book that are Beauty and the Beast tropes. So I'm just saying.
Zoe's just going to tell you all about all the Beauty and the Beast tropes and let you figure it out for yourself.
Honestly, we need to have just a Beauty and the Beast list one day. It would be so fun.
We definitely should. Just for you. I will say, let's see, The Scoundrel in Her Bed mm-hmm. is that is a heartbreaker Gilly. Book. No.
Which
Gilly
one?
Is When a Duke Loves a Woman. The Scoundrel in Her Bed is Finn's book, and it is
oh my god, yes,
heartbreaking.
Yes.
That is a misunderstandings trope, though. That Ooh. It isn't misunderstandings, but it is not the characters being stupid. It's like outside mm-hmm. forces causing the misunderstandings, and the misunderstandings are based on zero contact. So, like, the main characters literally never spoke to each other during the events that like threw them in uproarious things. Oof. Oh, and it's terrible. Oh, it's awful. I mean, in the best way possible. It's a great book. I'm sorry. I'm not saying the book is awful. The book is great. I'm just saying when an Earl Takes a Fancy is light and fluffy, The Scoundrel in Her Bed is not.
Well, while we recover from remembering the heartache that we suffered while reading that book, shall we quickly adjourn to the parlor before we return to our list?
We shall.
So today we are once again talking about the historical romance retreat of 2022.
As a reminder, it's a fabulous event where you get to step back in time with your favorite authors. There you'll get to join some of the world's most celebrated authors of historical romance coming together for an intimate gathering that gives every guest a chance to mingle and play.
So the retreat runs from September 28th to October 2nd in 2022. And today we are highlighting an additional opportunity that they are offering, which is the Writer's Track.
Ooh, tell us more.
So if you're an aspiring author, this opportunity is for you. They're offering a pre-retreat writer's track on September 26th and 27th. With hands-on intensive instruction, you can get a boost to your goal of writing historical romances. It will be led by the incomparable Virginia Heath with Sabrina Jeffries, Elizabeth Essex, Nicole Locke, Celeste Barclay, Deb Marlowe, and more.
Wow, that's intense. Mm-hmm. This is a fun and instructive event, and it will be 2 full days and will provide a wonderful foundation to beginning and intermediate writers with real-world takeaways and tools that you can wield through your writing career.
And of course, an exclusive party will top off the experience to celebrate the first graduating class of the HRR Writers Track. So registration for that is now open, but very limited. So if you're an aspiring author and you're interested, you definitely shouldn't delay. You should go check it out.
You can learn more and register by visiting bit.ly/HRR2022 today. And before we finish here today, we just want to share with you a book that is coming out on the 29th of June. And this book is entitled Outrageous, and it's by Minerva Spencer. It's perfect for the discerning romance reader craving a story that turns expected tropes upside down. Minerva Spencer weaves a tale where the heroine kidnaps the hero and threatens have her way with him instead of the other way around as they race to the Scottish border. Outrageous is the second installment in the Rebels of the Ton, a new series about a younger generation that has no qualms about breaking the strict rules of Regency-era London.
All right, let's break those rules. Break down those barriers.
Hell,
I love it.
Yes.
So the synopsis is, from handsome hostage to unexpected suitor. When Ava de Courtenay kidnaps Godric Fleming, her only plan is to stop the irritating Earl from persecuting her beloved brother. But once she has the intriguing rogue in the confines of her carriage, she longs to taste the passion she senses simmering beneath his rugged exterior. Her forbidden plan is foiled, however, when Godric turns the tables, taking her hostage instead and demanding they marry at once. The last thing Godric wants to do is make the fiery, impulsive Ava his wife, despite her delectable mouth and alluring innocence. He knows from experience that nothing is forever, not even love. But honor demands he do right by the lady, no matter how stubbornly Ava tries to hold on to her independence. And while the road to the Scottish border is beset with danger, Godric's greatest challenge is to keep his hands and his heart from his captivating bride-to-be.
Oh my God, I want to read this right now.
Well, we're lucky because we have copies, so let's get on it.
Oh, we definitely will.
And if you want to find us out there on the internet, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at T as in Tom, N as in Nancy Strumpets, Facebook /TN Strumpets, and YouTube by searching our name. And if you're listening to us on YouTube, now is a great time to click that like and subscribe because it helps us know that you like what we're doing there, and we sure appreciate all your support.
And if you really want to be in the know, you can sign up for our email notifications. Our email notifications will update you on what we're reading each month, give you exclusive content from authors we interview, and you can sign up for that on our website, which is romancepod.com. There you'll find information about us, other resources, so take a look.
All right, so we are back, we are recovered, and we are ready to talk about more fabulous sibling series.
Yes. So our next sibling series is The Hathaways by Lisa Kleypas. When an unexpected inheritance elevates the Hathaway family to aristocracy, they find new challenges in navigating the intricacies of London society and new desires. This historical romance series is sensual and compelling, with lords and ladies, gypsies, and governesses all harboring dark secrets and secret passions.
And the characters here are Poppy, Beatrix, Winifred, Amelia, and Leo Hathaway. And the books are Mine Till Midnight, Seduce Me at Sunrise, Tempt Me at Twilight, Married by Morning, and Love in the Afternoon.
Well, aren't those quaint titles?
They're so great. And I love these books. I mean, these are – it's funny because everyone has favorite Lisa Kleypas books. But as soon as you start talking about your favorite Lisa Kleypas books, then you start talking about more Lisa Kleypas books. So, like, I forget this series because I have so many others that I love of hers, like, and they come to the forefront more. But, like, this is such – these are such great books. These are some of the best books. I mean, just – I don't know. How is she so good at this?
I know, really. And I will say Lisa Kleypas, like, she just writes really great stories. I really like her. And again, I think this is a series I need a refresher on. So I'm going to add it in.
This one has Cam Rohan, who you get in the Wallflower series.
That's why I know it. I knew Cam had a book.
Yeah, and Kev Merripen. And there's a lot of family support here. And Beatrix's book is a great animal book. It's like if you really liked Penelope and the Wallflower Rager, that was a more recent book that might spark your memory. But Beatrix has a lot of animals and there's a lot of great animal shenanigans. It's lots of fun.
That's really great. Zoe, I thought you said Wallflower Rager. And I was like, oh yeah, you get those wallflowers to party. Hey, oh.
That's a whole different book. We should ask Tessa to write that as a novella.
There you go. There we go.
So next we have another repeat author here, because we are talking about The Wilds of Linlow Castle by Eloisa James. And quick note here, if you guys hear some different noises or some banging, it's because we have a special guest that has joined the recording. Serafina has joined us. So I'm sure she'll have lots to say. She's usually very talkative.
Excellent. So are we. You get it from good women.
Yes, it's true. So in The Wilds of Linlow Castle, the Duke of Linlow has a lot of kids. All of his kids were named after warriors of old. The oldest son died, and that is a big conflict for book two, because the second oldest isn't sure that he wants to inherit anything. And there's lots of dukes and other lords around to marry all of the daughters. The duke actually had three wives. I think one maybe passed away and one he got a divorce from, and so he's on his third wife. So there's lots of children.
Yes.
It's really fun.
Yes. Our characters so far are Ulrich, North, Parth, Betsy Viola, who's the third duchess's daughter, so she's a half/step-sibling, and Joan. And these are the books so far.
Yeah, and the books are Wild in Love, Too Wild to Wed, Born to be Wild, Say No to the Duke, Say Yes to the Duke, Wild Child, and My Lust Duchess, which is a novella.
Yes, and that novella is about the Duke of Linlow and his current wife. And these books are fun.
Yeah, they're not too intense. I totally agree with that note here. And they're really enjoyable. I recently read the last one, which I believe is, say,
Wild Child.
I remember you saying maybe you didn't like it as much. I really enjoyed it. I had a great time with that book and those characters. I thought that they were fun characters to read. They worked for me.
That's fair, but that's the thing. That's the best part, is kind of like each book is its own thing. So I really loved, especially like the boys so far, Ulrich, North, Parth. Parth is fun because we meet his bride in the first book, and then there's a whole story as we go along. So it's kind of fun to get there. And that one's probably the most intensive as far as like storylines go, but all of them are really great.
So here's the big question, though, and this isn't a spoiler, this is speculation. So the oldest kid died by mysterious circumstances in the bog, but Kelsey, there is no body. And I firmly believe that if there is no body, they are not yet dead.
That is an interesting thing, because they always make a point to say that no one, like in every book, like no one recovered his body. Mm-hmm. Like he gets mentioned pretty often. And I think that's really interesting, because they've also been talking about what to do with North not wanting to assume the dukedom, and he can't actually forfeit it because they've checked. But he and his now wife have no desire to be Duke and Duchess whatsoever. And so luckily the Duke of Linlow is like, well, I'm not planning to die anytime soon, so we'll figure it out when we figure it out. It's fine. Because North is like, I don't want to be the Duke. And then Ulrich's like, well, I definitely don't want to be the Duke.
It's so silly that they all don't want to be the Duke, but like, whatever. I have a feeling, I think his name is Horatio, the oldest brother.
Yeah, Horatio. Mm-hmm.
My money's on he's not yet dead. Sarah, you got to stop hitting my microphone. Sorry, everybody.
That would be pretty wild, because, yeah, they say the bog, like, sucks you under and you, like, go places. So he may have just, like, got spit out somewhere else.
And here's the thing. I hate amnesia stories. Like, you know, we talked about, like, tropes that we don't do. Amnesia is, like, I can't mess with that.
Yeah, it's always
happening. But I really – if he had amnesia – I want it, because by all accounts, he was kind of a douche of a brother. Like, he just was like so stuck up. And so my guess is, if he's alive, he hit his head real hard and he's been living a very different life, and he's finally going to remember.
That is so exciting, Zoe. I really hope you're right, because I would really love to read that book. Anyway, and then we still have
fingers
a few
crossed.
Like, Joan's like the next oldest, but there's still some younger sibling younger boys too.
who have really great names, although they escape me. And so this is all very exciting and, again, really fun, which leads us to a next fun series, which is short, sweet, to the point, which is the Turner series by Courtney Malone. So these three, there's three brothers whose mother went basically insane, and they have to learn to be brothers once again while also battling, you know, living in general. Each brother has his own thing. The oldest ends up a duke. The youngest has preached chastity for men, and the middle brother suffered the most trauma from their mother, and now he's determined to do his best to bring justice to the least fortunate among us. So the characters are Ash, Mark, and Smite. Those are our brothers. And the books are Unveiled, Unclaimed, and Unraveled. So I recently read this series all the way through. I read Unveiled through book club, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know why it took me so long to get to the other two, but I finally picked them up and I really liked them. They're very good.
Unclaimed is a favorite of many. When we talk about the virgin hero, Unclaimed is like kind of one of the like pinnacle books of that trope.
And it's very interesting because Courtney Milan like initially really had the idea of having the virgin hero. And initially, like, I guess the publishers didn't really think it would work because there had never been a virgin hero. So she kind of like made it like, so that's why there was like this whole big thing about his chastity book and preaching chastity and this and that, because like the publishers at the time, they're like, oh, we don't know how well a virgin hero story is going to go. But she's like, no, he has to be a virgin hero. Like he has to be. Oh,
I mean, he does.
So she made it happen anyway.
Good for her. I really want to reread that one. I remember loving that series. I'm sure I like ate it up in a weekend kind of thing.
No, and I really like Smite's book too. Like that's a really interesting power struggle and things like that. And you learn a little bit more about his story because he is very, of the brothers, he's like the most reclusive and he's like the most by himself. But it's not, but he does that for, you know, very specific reasons. So due to the trauma that he sustained with their mother. So very interesting series.
Well, next we have a series that I just got the first book because it was on sale. It was 99 cents. So like everybody get on out there and snag it up because it's a deal that is like so great and you're not going to regret it. This is the Seducing the Sedgwicks series by Kat Sebastian. And so the Sedgwick series is about the sons of a radical, slightly unhinged poet. And each book is a standalone, but this is the chronological order. So first is It Takes Two to Temple. Second, A Gentleman Never Keeps Score. And three, Two Rogues Make a Right. And I constantly have mixed up It Takes Two to Temple and Two Rogues Make a Right as titles. But Two Rogues Make a Right is the one that I have read. And it is so stinking good. And A Gentleman Never Keeps Score. Oh, yeah? Sarah, you concur? Okay. A Gentleman Never Keeps Score. Jeff and Will, when they came on our podcast, they talked about that being just a phenomenal book. And so that's the one, actually, that I got on sale for 99 cents. I was like, oh, I haven't read this yet. Perfect. Sarah, you want to read it next? And then since I haven't mentioned it, this is all male-male romances, although at least one of the characters is bisexual. In Two Rogues Make a Right, I haven't read the others, so I don't know all of their exact sexual preferences, but definitely some diversity going on there.
Awesome. Super good. I have not read these series, but I do love Kat Sebastian. I have another book of hers on my shelf. I actually bought a hard copy of it because the cover was so beautiful, and I was at the bookstore, so I bought it.
And nice. Which one?
Oh, God. It's over there. I don't know. It's a newest one.
Okay.
There. 2 seconds. Let me look it up.
Oh, The Queer Principles of Kit Webb.
Yeah, that one. I think so.
The illustrated cover.
Yeah, the illustrated one. The newest one, right?
Yes. The Queer Principles of Kit Webb.
Oh, yeah. You said it so fast. I was like, I don't know what you just said. The Queer Principles of Kit Webb. It's such a cute cover. I had to buy it.
Yes. And I forgot to say the siblings in Seducing the Sedgwicks are Ben, Hartley, and Will Sedgwick.
Excellent. All right. And so a really one that I was commenting on because, one, what we were reading, I read all of them in my, what was it, my March of Kerrigan Byrne, where I read, like, all her books. We have the Good Girls series. Ooh. And the Good Girls are daughters of an earl who is obsessed with rank and status, and it causes a lot of strife within the family. Luckily, an overbearing father cannot stop these sisters who are destined for anything but the quote-unquote good life. The series is not yet finished. There is one coming out next. So our siblings are Honoria, Prudence, Mercy, Felicity, Rosaline, who is a half-sister. And there's more, and I can't remember the other siblings' names, but it's cray because we have all the titles, which is great. So it's an 8-book series, mm-hmm. and we have all the titles. So our books are A Dark and Stormy Night, Courting Trouble, Dancing with Danger, Tempting Fate, Crying Wolf, which is the next one to be released, is Crying Wolf, Flirting with Disaster, Playing with Fire, and Dealing with the Devil.
Yeah. And so these books are like Kerrigan Byrne, but in a slightly shorter book than she usually writes, which is really nice. And I've only read Felicity's book because I have a Nook and right now everything's on Kindle and Unlimited. So I believe so. It's like a special thing and I can't get them on my Nook yet, but I will get them. I will read them. I'm really excited to read because the first book is a crossover from the Victorian Rebels series with Carlton Morley. And like, I really want to read his book. And I think we talked to Kerrigan about him and his book in our interview with her. Because like she was saying, if I remember this correctly, that a lot of her readers really wanted a book about him. But for whatever reason, the publisher wasn't interested in buying a book about him. So this was an independently published endeavor to make sure that Morley gets his book. Oh, and here we go. We've gotten the headphone cable. I knew that would happen at some point.
Yes. And they're all really fun. And, you know, there's even siblings upon siblings because the twins – The good twins end up falling in love with the two most powerful brothers in the underworld. So there you go. And then at the end of our last book, which is The Tempting Fate, we find out that the Earl, who is so obsessed with rank, he dies and turns out he had a whole other family. So there's a bunch of half-sibling goods running around. And of course, our magical good sisters are like, well, you're family, so come with us. And so now our next books are The Additional Good Siblings.
How fun. I am excited to keep reading them. I really, really, really liked the Felicity's book. It was like very magical.
Oh, I love all of them. Mercy's book is so good because she, like her and her like beau are just chemistry on chemistry. Like they see each other and then they keep meeting each other and they're like, oh, hey, how's it going? And but she is such a good sister. And she's like, I can't do anything right, but I can be a good twin to my sister, you know? And so it's just really, really magical in that sense. So.
Well, I can't wait to read them all. I'll get to it soon, eventually. So our last series that we're going to highlight here. So I thought it would be a good way to finish our list and have Sarah agrees, obviously, and have the last series that we highlight be The Smythe Smith Quartet by Julia Quinn. Because if you love Bridgerton, then what is better than more Julia Quinn family books?
Oh, and these are great books. So, a delightful quartet of Regency era set tales featuring the romantic exploits of the well-meaning but less than accomplished Smythe Smith musicians. Our characters are Honoria Smythe Smith, Daniel Smythe Smith, Lady Sarah Plensworth, and Iris Smythe Smith. The books are Just Like Heaven, A Night Like This, The Sum of All Kisses, and The Secrets of Sir Richard Kenworthy.
It has been so long since I've read these books, so they would also be a great reread opportunity for me.
They would, and I was thinking about that when I wanted to do some rereading of Julia Quinn. I almost went to these. I just love the scenes. Like, Honoria is so great because you talk about in Bridgerton. in the Bridgerton ones, we talk about, like, they're looking at the one girl who clearly knows she should not be there, and you know it. And the whole idea is that Honoria's book, she's just the one who knows she is not a very good musician and hates these musicals, but at the same time, too, loves that it's the family tradition and kind of gets behind it. So,
well, as a cellist myself, I always identified with any cello playing heroines. There's definitely her. I believe she's the cellist. And also, sorry guys, she's talkative now. Also, Eloisa James, Once Upon a Tower, has a cello playing heroine. Well, I think it is great that we have gotten to the end of our list, because our guest host, I think, has had about enough.
Yes. So if you'd like to pick up a copy of any of the books you heard here today, we've got links in the show notes. And if you think we've missed something, we'd love to hear about it. Send us an email at romancepod@gmail.com.
So now we have one piece of unfinished business, which is to talk about the next series that we are going to be reading. So thank you all, everybody, for voting and for bearing with us as we have a loud co-host here. But we had a very, very slim margin. And honestly, I watched it go back and forth kind of as more people voted. But finally, at the end of voting, we will be reading the Maiden Lane series by Elizabeth Hoyt.
Whoa, there we go. All right, Zoe.
And I know, Kelsey, that the first book is the only one you've read, and you were not a particular fan of it, but I...
No. I'll give it another go. Our fans have spoken.
Yes, and I really think that there is so much to offer in this 14-book series.
Man, we're going to be doing this for a while.
Yeah, but like we said, we may do some, like, 5-minute summaries and do kind of, like, quicker versions of some of the books. Just... As we go through, we're going to allow ourselves that opportunity. So I'm excited about that. I actually have already reread the first one in my book binge recently. So I'm ready to go, because that is going to be our next episode. We're going to go ahead and dive into that series since you all have spoken.
All right. So... there we go. We will be reading the first book in Elizabeth Hoyt's Maiden Lane series. Well, thank you all for listening, and join us next time as we read Wicked Intentions by Elizabeth Hoyt, the first book in the Maiden Lane series. And may all your ever afters end happily.
Tea and Strumpets is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.